May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What then must we do? What then must we do? The crowds ask in reply to John's exhortation to them. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. And this is the question for us during this Advent season, as we prepare again for the coming of the Messiah. What then must we do to prepare to bear fruits worthy of repentance? I often come into this church building during the week when I'm beavering away in my office, answering emails and telephoning people and writing things. And I come into this space, into this beautiful sanctuary, just to remind myself about what it's all about, to feel God's presence afresh, to clear my mind. And I walk along the walls, I sit in the pews, I often look at the stained glass windows. And this last week was, I hosted a woman who I'd never met before, who is the great-granddaughter of one of the founders of St. Andrew's. And if you look in the centenary history, you see a picture of her great-grandfather, Mr. Tailby, with his big Victorian whiskers. And we chatted, and then we came into the church, and she showed me the Tailby window, the window of Jesus calling, you can't see it really, it's this window up here, of Jesus calling Andrew, and then of Andrew and Jesus at the feeding of the 5,000. And as I thought about this exhortation from John, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and this cry, what must we do then? And as I thought about the story of these windows, and the story of a window like that one, the calling of St. Andrew, I felt a sense of being utterly daunted. If we look at our stained glass windows, they are the story of people who gave everything, who dropped the nets to follow Jesus immediately. Albert Schweitzer, back there, who spent his life serving those in need in Africa. St. Paul, even these two odd windows over here, these two windows from the 1930s of Sir Galahad and Joan of Arc, are about people who gave everything to follow Christ in search of the Holy Grail, in martyrdom by the hated English for her cause. And I look at these windows and feel a sense of inadequacy and a sense of what can I do to live up to that, as I worry about how I'm going to pay for my daughter to go to college, putting money away in my 403b for retirement. But then there's one particular window. It tells a slightly different story, and it's this window over here. This one. It's a bit dated in some of the imagery. It's not very politically correct in its gender role application. But it's a story of people following faithfully. A man at his desk with an industrial plant behind him, and a woman teaching her children. Nowadays, of course, if we did this window now, we would probably reverse the images. But it's a story of people getting on with their lives and being faithful people. And that's the answer that John gives to the people when they ask him, what then should we do? He doesn't say to them, drop everything and come back into the desert with me. What does he say to them? What does he say? If you have two coats, give one away to someone who has nothing. What else does he say? Share. If you have food, share with people who have none. If you're a tax collector, He doesn't say, stop being a tax collector. He says, don't cheat people. If you're a soldier, he doesn't say to them, stop being a soldier. He says, do your duty fairly. Don't use your power to exploit other people. Sometimes it can feel like the call of Jesus is overwhelming to us when we read the scriptures because people seem to give up everything. But John the Baptist's story today, and in fact, if we look at the ministry of Jesus, how he encounters people, it's often not about saying to people, give up everything and come with me. But it's about how can you and you, where you are, use your gifts and talents and riches to care for other people and make the kingdom a reality. I wondered whether, is this like making the comfortable comfortable in saying these words and saying you're off the hook. You're off the hook. But then I just think that, God, if only we could even do what John asked us to do. The world could be a radically different place. If we could just give our coats to the people who need it when we have so many, when we can give food to the people who need it, if we can deal justly with people, if we can not exploit people. And in the words of the reading from the epistle, if we can be gentle, the world begins to look very much like the vision that God has for us, that Jesus came to build and invite us to become part of. What are you to do? In these last 2 weeks of Advent, ask yourself this question. What is Jesus asking you to do? Amen.